from a rhetorical perspective, the good news is that the emergence of process models of persuasion give us hope for predicting persistence, resistance, and application of attitude change with some regularity. In particular, that research has identified elaboration, high elaboration and low elaboration, or central processing versus peripheral processing, or systematic processing versus heuristic processing, or the more intuitive mindful processing versus mindless processing. In this distinction carries a great deal of difference with regard to predictions we can make about persistence, resistance, and application. So elaboration likelihood is predictable to a large extent. As Johnson writes, the persuader can encourage the persuadee to pursue more processing by creating the right situations. What are the right situations? Well, as we've noted previously, both the motivation and ability of the persuadee to process is important. That is, audiences who are not motivated to process, to spend a lot of mental energy processing a message, probably will not do so. Even those who do have a great deal of motivation but lack the ability to process the message will have difficulty doing that. So both motivation and ability are important. And research suggests that message, context, and receiver variables are important both with regard to motivation and ability. Let's first consider motivation. Message factors, context factors, and receiver factors in motivation. Message factors include things like message-sidedness, two-sided messages, and giving people a greater motivation to process than one-sided messages. Interaction structure, that is, how the persuadee interacts with the persuader. For example, the idea of persuadee advocacy, where the persuadee is invited to, in some way, develop their own arguments on behalf of the persuader. Even counter-attitudinal advocacy, where people are advocating a position which they acknowledge they disagree before they begin. That process of advocating the other side does tend to produce some shift in attitude toward the position being advocated. Attention devices, we also made note of in messages as ways to try to encourage more processing by producing curiosity, novelty, importance, showing how an idea is related to people, and asking them questions, all as ways of trying to encourage more processing. However, it's important to keep in mind that attention devices may be counterproductive when they are diverting the persuadee's attention away from the central message and to something that is marginal to the message. And so I'm sure we can think of, you know, the popularity of a phrase like sex sells, but wonder what really is being sold in many of these commercials. I'm sure that many Budweiser commercial make women in bikini as seem rather attractive, but this does not, in turn, make Budweiser seem more attractive. So those are message factors and motivation. We talk about context factors also, like forewarning and the impact of social setting. And receiver factors, like what kind of involvement the audience has, and also things like personal responsibility and need for cognition. And also remember the idea of mood, that happy mood tends to decrease the motivation to process. The ability to process is influenced again by message, context, and receiver variables. Message factors like clarity, the use of metaphors, and the use of repetition all enhance the audience's ability to process the message. Context, creating a context in which there are few distractions, are important to the audience's ability to process. And finally, the receivers themselves, the topic relevant knowledge that they have, for example, being shown to have a significant impact on their ability to process the message. So motivation factors include message, context, and receiver variables, as do ability factors. Message, context, and receiver, all important to elaboration.